Tim Waller. I grew up in Auburn, Maine, and my wife grew up down south, a rebel. And we met at Tennessee Temple, and then I graduated in 1985 from Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. We've been married 42 years. Just feels like yesterday, 150 years. We knew each other 3 weeks, and she had graduated from college, was working with the theology department, and I met her, and you ever heard that? Love at first sight, amen? So within 3 weeks, I made her marry me, and so far they said, oh, it won't last, it won't last. Well, we're still here, amen? 7 kids. And you support my daughter and her husband, Jessica and Eric. I married them here in this church. In fact, I said, Jesse and Erica. And so I never lived that down. I married Jessica and Eric in the church here. And they're in Malawi, Africa right now. I talk to them almost every day. And so anyhow, we've been blessed, and God's been good, and I'd like you to turn with me over to Luke 17. Aren't you glad the politics is over finally? Man, I had more advertisements jumping out at me from everywhere. I never knew it was so much everywhere. I mean, there was bad. I didn't even want to hear my side of the aisle's advertisements anymore. I quit talking about it, paying any attention to it. But before it happened, I was preparing. I was preparing myself for Trump to get in there. And I mean, I was preparing about 3 or 4 months before. Every time there was a long line at Walmart, I would choose that line except the short line. When I was driving and there was a long line, I'd get behind that, and I waited patiently at every. I worked on patiently waiting, and I waited patiently for everything because Trump said he wasn't going to tax waiters. So I think I passed now, and I should be exempt from taxes this year because I can wait pretty good now, amen? I tell everyone I'm retired. I'm not in a rush. And I'm not really telling them, I'm reminding myself, amen, I'm not in a rush. Look over to Luke 17, verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Father, help, I pray, Lord, as you're working on my heart with this message for a few weeks. And Father, just keep me up all night and you keep speaking to me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Help us, I pray, to be a people with thankful hearts, I pray. Amen. I went through radiation last year, chemo, and I had a throat. And I lost a son a year ago. still very emotional. I hope I never get over it. God is, he's good. In times of trouble, he's good. In times of good times, he's good. God's good. And we ought to thank him. Every one of us that claim the name of Christ ought to thank him. Amen. Here we see one turned back and thanked him. One out of 10 turned back and thanked him for the healing. Over in Leviticus 13, first of all, we'll look at the diagnosis, the cure, and then the gratitude. But Leviticus 13, it showed what to do to be diagnosed if you may have leprosy. You know what these men went through? You know what it's like when you got a lump and it hurts and it bothers you? And us guys, we don't go to the doctors, amen. Say it'll go away and it don't go away. A year later, you finally tell the doctor, something's going on. And she said, well, you know, I was doing that with my throat. And she said, well, it's probably allergies. Yeah, you're probably right. I hate needles. I always hated needles. I never had any problem when I was young growing up. I never had any sicknesses. I never really had anyone close to me die. You sit there and wait. Next time you go back, doctor said it may be radon because I live in the mountains over Sunday River. I said, yeah, there's radon all over. So I put in a radon, I think to kick it out, a fan to blow it out of the house, drilled into the foundation, got rid of the radon, and it just got worse. Must be mold. I'd do anything but think that it could be cancer. And you know what it's like when you go and you finally, a year later, doctor said, well, we're going to do a CAT scan. I said, doctor, my cat don't have the problem. It's my throat. We do the CAT scan. Well, it's something going on. We're going to do a PET. He keeps wanting to talk about my pets. Amen. So I go and I do a PET, and as you go in, they say, well, we're going to have to do a biopsy. They do the biopsy, and you wait, and you wait, and you think the worst. They say, well, we won't get the biopsy back for about 3 or 4 days. And as you're sitting there waiting, you think the worst. It's a terrible thing to wait for a diagnosis, isn't it? Leviticus 13 talked about what these men had to do, present themselves to the priests. They weren't physicians. Nobody go to the priest. And they would look at their skin wherever the problem was and evaluated, and they've been trained and taught to what to look for leprosy. And as the priests look, and if they weren't sure, they would take you and shut you up for 7 days. You couldn't go back to your family, couldn't go back to your career, couldn't go back to your job, couldn't go back to your friends. You were locked up for 7 days. And then the priests would bring you out, examine it a little closer and look at it and say, either you were clean or you were unclean, according to Leviticus 13. Just that time waiting is a torment. I looked up some things to see how many things I could check off. A cancer diagnosis can cause a range of emotions, including shock. You're shocked. Fear, sadness, guilt or blame. A lot of people blame God. Depression, loneliness, helplessness, feeling unworthy, moodiness, grumpiness, amen. These guys have already been, we don't know how long they'd had leprosy. They've already gone through enough. The diagnosis. Back in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, there was a leper that Jesus healed. I love reading Luke's gospel. He was a doctor. He was interested in these ailments and the palsy, and he was interested in the healings that Jesus did. Luke's gospel gave more on the healings of infirmities and palsy and than any other gospel. He was a doctor. He was called the beloved physician by Paul. These men were cast out of the communities. Back in chapter 5, verse 2, there was another fellow there that Jesus healed. It said he was full of leprosy. You know there's different stages in cancer. 1, 2, 3, 4. This guy was a 4 of leprosy, amen. We at least with cancer, it's not contagious. We can go home. These guys couldn't go back home. They had to wear the mask over their mouth, their face. And whenever someone come near after they were called unclean, they'd have to yell out, unclean, unclean. They were kicked out of society. Some of them starved to death because their teeth just decayed and rotted out. And they weren't allowed to go eat with other people. What these men had gone through. Remember the time of COVID? Stupid mask. You know how ugly people treated me because I wouldn't wear a mask? I read they didn't work and I didn't think they worked. You get the vaccine, you'll never get COVID. Oh yeah, that was a lie too, wasn't it? Me and Donna went to go buy flowers outdoors at a garden shop, and that lady said, put on your mask, put on your mask. We're outdoors, we won't even go near you. She wouldn't let us come in there and look at flowers and plants outdoors because we didn't have a mask on. We said, well, forget you, we're not going to buy anything from you. I remember they chased me around Walmart once. Says, here, you have to put on a mask. We have some free ones out here. I said, all right, I'd go get the mask. They'd look at me, I put it on, and I dropped it below and walked. I was a rebel. I hated those masks. I couldn't breathe with those masks. But do you imagine how terribly mean people were to people with leprosy? They were outcasts. Their fellowship was cut off. Their diagnosis. They were cut off from family and friends and society. This guy here, though, that turned back and give thanks, he was an outcast. He was got a double whammy, amen? He had leprosy and he was a Samaritan. The Jews didn't like Samaritans. They didn't worship down in Jerusalem. They were a mixed breed. Back in the Old Testament, the king came from Assyria and took all these people away captive from Israel after Israel fell. And then they planted in all these people from all around Assyria with all their gods and all their problems. And at the time of Jesus, they were outcast all by where they were born. Outcast and cut off from fellowship. You know, that's the same thing as you and I because of Adam and Eve when they were cast out of the garden. We are outcasts. We have been cut off from fellowship until you get saved. Amen. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The diagnosis. These guys have gone through a lot. The cure, Dr. Luke's gospel describes more miraculous healings than any of the other three gospels. Luke records, I like that, not just the sicknesses, but he always puts in the results after the healings. The sickness, the healing, and then the result. Here, he put in that this fellow fell down at the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God. Throughout the Bible, in the book of Luke, the instances where people were healed, Dr. Luke recorded the results for most of them. The cure? The diagnosis was made and you want a cure? There's no cure for leprosy. What they would do for a cure? They would do anything to be cured. Remember the story of Naaman? And that little maiden was brought up from Israel. And Naaman, a captain of the host of the Syrian king, he had leprosy. He was well known. He was famous. He was good, but he had leprosy. That little maiden says, I tell you what, once you go down, and if you could just go down and talk to the prophets down there, they could heal you of your leprosy, or their God can heal you. In 2 Kings 5, he goes, and the king of Israel says, I can't do anything for you. And he rent his king of Judah rent his clothing, and then Elias says, hey, I have a God that can do something for you. Go down in the Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll be clean. Remember Naaman? Got angry. I'm not going. Our rivers are better than their rivers down there. I'll go dip in our rivers. That isn't what God said. Then his servants came to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Then he went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times and was healed. Only God can heal of leprosy. They'd heard of Jesus. They'd heard of his teachings. They'd heard of amazement how people got up from his teaching and said, where'd this man get this authority? Said that the fame of Jesus went through all the region round about. They heard of a man named Jesus. They're traveling, 10 of them together, and sometimes they stay in leper colonies. Here they were traveling. They had heard of this man called Jesus. Jesus is sitting down. They give him the book. And amid that, he opened the book and found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, Jesus still does that today, man. There isn't an addiction he can't deliver you from. After high school, Edward Little, I took off hitchhiking around the country. I'd overdosed on angel's dust. I went over and worked at George D. Aiken Laboratory in Vermont. There was a guy, my supervisor, named Tim. And later on, after I got saved, I went back to see Tim. He said, I was a Christian back then when I knew you. I said, why didn't you tell me about Jesus and salvation? He said, I figured you were too far gone. Jesus can save the worst of us. Jesus can save. Even today, he can deliver. He can set free. Jesus closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The long-awaited Messiah has come. Now, these traveling lepers heard of Jesus. His fame had gone throughout the whole land. His healing powers, everyone knew about. Luke 4, 36 and 37, after casting out a devil, it says, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. After Luke 5, 12 shows that man that was full of leprosy, after he got healed, it said, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. It says, and then many multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. Jesus was healing, the cure. They knew if they could just get to Jesus, they could be cured. I sat with the Buddhists. I sat with the psychotherapy cults in California. I did everything. I was searching for something that meant something that was real. Now, as a kid, I got saved at Lewiston Baptist Church playing basketball. And I remember my sister did too. Now, her husband's a pastor in Portland. Been there for quite a few years. And I went home, told Mom I got saved, and they kind of brushed us off. Didn't have any interest in little Timmy getting saved. I was probably junior high school. Later on, after I'd traveled around the country and did my thing, I came back to Jesus Christ. And boy, I got on fire. My brother got saved. My sister got saved. And my family got saved. Mom and Dad got saved. Praise the Lord. My brother ended up starting the church, Faith Baptist in Auburn. And he passed away from COVID a few years ago. But we all knew the answer was Jesus Christ. There's no name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved. Buddha didn't do it for me, and the psychotherapy cults didn't help me out. Jesus Christ cleansed me, delivered me, and he's able. Amen? He is able. He's still doing it today. The fame of him has gone worldwide, amen? My daughter and her husband and six kids are in Malawi giving the gospel, and people have been doing their magic and worshiping the devil, and they'll take all their books out and have a big bonfire when they get saved, amen? All around the world, people are getting saved because Jesus' fame had gone all around the world, and because men have been faithful in bringing the gospel to them. Well, these men, these 10, maybe they had heard of the guy with palsy. Maybe they had heard of him back in Luke chapter 5, verse 18. They tore up the house and let him down in a bed before the feet of Jesus. They had heard of Jesus. If we could just get him to Jesus. Maybe they had heard of the two blind men that Jesus touched and healed and they could see again. Jairus' 12-year-old daughter that died, and they said, you've come too late, she's dead. And Jesus says, go out of the room. And he said, come forth out of the grave, raised her from the dead. Maybe they had heard of that power. No one can do these things but God. Luke 4, in verse 40, it says, they brought them, and he healed them all those that were infirm and blind. Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, and Jesus answering said unto them, when they were complaining, about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Some people try to hide and try to be good in the eyes of other people. You know something? Jesus knows your heart. Every one of us are sinners and need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know the cost. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we see the diagnosis, and then we see the cure, then we see the gratitude. He died for all 10 of these men. He healed all 10 of these men, the good, the bad, the ugly, the man. I want you to just see three quick things. That was just introduction. You said 1 o'clock, right? These are short. First of all, gratitude. Gratitude separates you from others. Chapters, Luke 17. 15 through 18, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Gratitude separates you from others. You know, people know if you're a happy, thankful Christian. Amen? Separates you from others. Despite problems, diseases, loss. Look at Job. Job chapter 1. Says he lost everything. It says while he was yet speaking, they came and said, hey, all your cattle and your servants have been taken away and killed. Then his kids were all taken and killed. Then Job arose, verse 21 in chapter 1. He rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Worshiped. It can be done. It can be done. Your trials, your tribulations, your problems, your sorrows, you can still worship. It's been done and it can be done. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can praise God in hard times, amen? In fact, this separates you from other people. It separates you from other believers. It'll separate you in the eyes of God. Gratitude separates you from others. Hey, just be thankful. I started thinking of what message to preach, and I'm thinking, this is coming on Thanksgiving. We're going to have a meal right after. I was going to preach a whole message on eating turkey. And then I thought, well, I better preach on Thanksgiving. But, you know, we need to be thankful all the time. All the time. It makes a difference. People recognize. And you will recognize. We're talking about attitude during Sunday school. And Paul had mentioned some things. some co-workers. You know what? You just start praising God under your breath or out loud or whatever. Just start being thankful, and your reaction is so different. I've been there where they're taking too long to make my coffee, amen? And I'll just say, I got to start praising God. I've been there when Donna wants to argue and fight. And if I just shut my mouth and don't argue and fight, but just praise God, just thank God, it's so much easier. It'll separate you from others. Gratitude garners the attention of God. Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. It brings blessings to the one who praises. It also gets God's attention. To say, I'll enter the gates with thanksgiving. David says in Psalm 116, verse 17, I'll offer to the Lord the thanksgiving, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call on the name of the Lord. And it says in Psalm 22, 3, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. God wants us to be thankful people. Psalm 100, entering the gates. God wants us to praise him. And you know something? If you have some prayer requests, I think you get God's attention if you start praying and praising him before you start praying. Amen? You just got done fighting and arguing and yelling at the car in front of you, and then you're going to go pray? Amen? Praise God. Gratitude garners the attention of God. Gratitude opens the door to true worship. It says that he fell on his face and he worshiped God. Humbling oneself, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Gratitude displays powerful faith. He says, your faith hath made thee whole. First, what did he tell them? They got healed. All 10 of them. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, the Samaritan wouldn't have done that because he was a Samaritan. But he turned back and praised and worshiped God, and it says, your faith had made you whole. I think out of this whole deal, out of 10 of them, only one truly got saved. That word whole means, it's the Greek word sozo. It's used 5 times each time about being made whole. Not just healed. The others were healed. He was made whole because of his faith, the powerful faith displayed by praising God. It's used 5 times out of 100, the word sozo. I took Greek. You've heard this say. I know a little Greek. He runs the bakery downtown. Amen. It's used 5 times. It means to save, to deliver, to preserve. It's found in Luke 8, verse 48, and Luke 8, 50, and Matthew 9, 21, 22, and Luke 17, 9. He's made whole. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, I tell you what, there's so much more in this lesson I didn't quite get to, but the idea is be thankful. Praise God. When you don't feel like praising God, you praise him until you feel like praising him. Amen? You can talk yourself into it. Just let praise come out of your lips. Lift up your hand. Oh, this is Baptist. We don't do that, do we? Praise God. Amen? A lot of times I'll walk outside and I'll let my dog out and let the cat out, and I go out and just look up and I just praise God. As creator, look at what he's done. I live out, I'm exiled from civilization on the side of a mountain. And there's no lights, so there's a million stars out there. Boy, that moon's been so big lately. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the moon. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Boy, don't ever eat without thanking God. I heard an illustration one time. Since then, I never forget to thank God for my food. He says that you'd be similar to a pig under an apple tree eating apples and never looking up to see where they came from. Boy, be thankful. Be thankful, Christians. Praise God. Try it. It'll help you out. Bring down your blood pressure. Amen? It'll help you out. Make you happy to be around. Other people want to be around you praising, not grumpy and complaining and moaning. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful every day. God's good. He's always good. No matter what you're going through, God's good. Let's pray. Father, bless. Oh, God, help us, I pray. Practice praising, Lord. Help us utter praises. Father, even when we don't feel like it, Lord, that's the best time. Change our attitude through praise. Help us, Lord, to be thankful. Thankful people. Looking up, thankful to you. Bowing down, thankful to you. Because you are good. We're so thankful, Lord, for salvation. We're thankful for you sending Jesus to die on the cross. So thankful, Lord. And I pray that you bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.